the last chapter of my last book, and I'm going to send you my last book, Unearthly Disclosure Art. I don't know if you have it, but I
do not, and I would love it. And moreover, if you could sign it, I would.
Oh, absolutely.
All right.
In the last chapter, which is entitled Resident Aliens, I disclose information which has come to me via a high-ranking source who worked at the Pentagon in the U.S. Air Force Air Staff and Joint Staff. And this information was given to a friend of mine, an ex-Army intelligence guy who's a journalist in the aerospace world. Between 1986 and 1989, he was given a great deal of information about what was actually going on, and I'm quite sure this was part of an official leak.
How much of that? How much of that can you relate here?
Oh, there's tons of it. I mean, what do you want to know about bases? I mean, I've been told, for example, aliens have been coming to Earth for a very long time. They've established permanent bases here in Australia, the Caribbean, Pacific Ocean, Soviet Union, and in the United States, and specific locations are given in some cases. Now, that's just for starters, but obviously there is an amount of disinformation, and the question is, how does one sort the wheat from the chaff? But,
how do you?
There's a great deal of information. We've apparently, some military and scientific elements in the intelligence community have established communication with ETs. There has been a transfer of their technology. We are working on it.
Well, let's be clear on this, Timothy. I asked you the question about the president for a reason. You know, whether he could demand everything that we know about UFOs and get it. Of course, we can't know the answer to that, but I guess the bigger question is, Timothy, is it your opinion that there's a group outside of elected government, government's knowledge, that
absolutely,
sort of a majestic 12 or its equivalent?
Or its equivalent. But, of course, what I was told that, for example, at least 100 people in OSI, which is the Air Force Intelligence Office of Special Investigations, there are at least 100 people. I'm going back to, again, to 1986, 1989, because that's when this information was given. There were at least 100 people in OSI who had knowledge in varying degrees about the extraterrestrial presence and were actually dealing with it. When I was in the Pentagon in 1998, at the invitation of General Kenneth Israel, who was then director of the Defense Airborne Reconnaissance Office, as it was then called. They at that time, handled the unmanned spy planes, the UAVs, unmanned aerial vehicles.
Right.
He indicated to me that, in his opinion, this was more a policing task as opposed to national security, and he therefore suggested to me, or hinted, that OSI was much more likely to be in charge of the investigations.
Oh, a policing task.
That was his opinion.
As in?
Make of that what you will.
As in cleaning up? As in, you know, sanitizing some incident?
Well, OSI has all sorts of tasks, you know, other than some of the more obvious ones. I
yes.
mean, they're into counterintelligence, they're into investigations, they're into problems with people violating their national security oaths and things like that. So I think it's interesting from that point of view, but I was given a great deal of information, really, and you'll learn that in that last chapter. And there are concerns about what the aliens are doing. It's not a question, I'm told, of one species coming here. There are several. And more important, there appears to be a conflict of interest between some of these beings regarding our planet.
All right. Can you describe the various motivations of these groups? If you understand that there are conflicts, then that would imply we understand something of the motivations.
Well, I can only speak very broadly here, Art. There's definitely several races. I mean, goodness knows, I wouldn't put a number on it, you know, as to who's been coming here and for what purpose over the years, because it's been going on for thousands of years. But from what I gather, some of them definitely have a vested interest in this planet and its resources. And there is concern about the abduction process, which it is believed by them that it is definitely related to some sort of hybridization program.
Are the resources of this planet, oil and metals and that sort of thing, or are they more likely the human occupants of Earth?
I think more likely the human occupants. So they appear to need animal materials as well, some of them. I do think there could be an interest in some of our materials and minerals here. Some of them have suggested that. Some people who've established communication with humans have established that they need stuff here. Mm. And there appear to be a number of very large undersea bases which are causing disturbances. Now, as it was put to me, you know, they're concerned that the fact that some of the aliens are, quote, messing around with tectonic plates in the Pacific Ocean. Now, that opens all sorts of cans of worms. I think recent events might suggest. I'm not suggesting for one moment that the tsunami had anything to do with aliens, but I'm just saying that apparently, according to this source, some aliens are messing around with tectonic plates, and they have some large undersea bases. Now, why are they doing that? I don't know.
Yes, Timothy, but a natural inference from that statement would be that there could be a connection between the tsunami and messing around with the Pacific's tectonic plates.
There could be. There could be. Or they might even be messing around with the tectonic plates for their own purposes, to protect their bases or to protect the Earth. You know, that's the good news. I mean, there's always good news and bad news. It's like, you know, whatever threat is posed by aliens, we have to look at the positive side of things. The fact that they've shown their ability to paralyze our nuclear missile bases at the drop of a hat.
They have shown that too, haven't they?
Yes.